With me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 12. Our focal text will be verses 27 through 47. So we'll be wrapping up chapter 12 and the next week moving into the last chapter of this book. So Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 27 through 47. What do birthdays, engagements, weddings, promotions, first steps, sports victories, and holidays all have in common? They're times that we celebrate. Typically, during those occasions, we designate them as events that are worthy of our honor, our attention, and our recognition, and we come together to celebrate what has happened. In the text we're studying this morning, Nehemiah chapter 12, 27 through 47, Nehemiah shows us that there's something else that we need to add to our list of celebratory events, and that is the great works of God. The people of God should celebrate the great works of God that He does for us and through us. As Nehemiah's people looked back over the remarkable feat that God had accomplished through them, the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem in just 52 days, how He gave them leadership through Nehemiah, how He unified the people for this awesome task, how He protected them from their enemies, and how He had restored worship among His people in the city. They had it in their hearts to celebrate all that God had accomplished. They wanted to have a special worship service where they dedicated the wall to God and set it apart for Him and for His purposes for Jerusalem and His people. And this special worship service would be a time of celebrating God's goodness to His people. As New Testament Christians, we too should have this desire, and we should be intentional to celebrate God's goodness that He has done for us and the things that He's accomplished through us. So we're going to look at this text this morning, and we're going to see what we can discern from Israel's celebration of God's great works and how we can translate it today when we come together to worship and to celebrate God's great works amidst us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask that You will bless the study of Your word this morning. God, give us all hearts that desire to celebrate You and specifically what You have done through us and what You have done for us. God, open our eyes to see in this text what will change our lives and the ways we approach You and make much of Your goodness in our lives. And we pray it in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. So beginning in verse 27, I want you to see first of all that we celebrate God's great works with gladness. We celebrate God's great works with gladness. Look in verse 27. Now, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites from all their places to bring them to Jerusalem so that they might celebrate the dedication with gladness. So the picture, as you'll remember, there were already some Levites living in Jerusalem. But for this dedication service, they recruit the Levites who were living in the surrounding regions of Jerusalem, and they bring them in to have a worship service with gladness. This word gladness, it refers to this feeling of inner joy that's put on display outwardly. It's this inward rejoicing in God that characterizes itself with expressions that are fitting for that sense of gladness that we have inwardly. When they celebrated what God did, it was to be a time of rejoicing over the Lord and all that God had accomplished through them. Imagine them coming together, and they're so delighted in what God has done that it's overflowing in expressions in the way they worship, in their attitude, in their words, in their engagement with others, in their facial expressions, in all of their actions. The cheer on the inside is being outwardly expressed in how they feel towards God and what God has done. Ladies, imagine that you bought your husband this gift for his birthday. It's wrapped, you're excited about it, and you're hoping he is gonna feel the same way about the gift that you do. As he tears into this gift and he's tearing off the wrapping paper and he opens the box and he sees the gift, you're gonna discern a lot about how he feels about that gift based upon his words, based upon his facial expressions, based upon his actions that follow. And in the same way, the celebration that took place in Jerusalem that day over God's great works, people could see outwardly the joy that others had inwardly. Church, when we come together to celebrate God in a time of worship and we think about the good things he's done for us, just to put things down on a childlike level, we ought to be like the Tiggers on Winnie, like Tigger on Winnie the Pooh. We ought to be these happy tigers. We ought not to be like Eeyore, this miserable donkey. We ought to have facial expressions that are showing what's truly going on in our inner hearts. For example, when a soul gets saved, we ought to be expressing it with claps of thanksgiving to the Lord, maybe raising of the arms. We shouldn't have this attitude like folded arms. Just bless me if you can, Lord. When someone gets saved, we ought to be smiling from ear to ear. People ought to think that we have just tasted of the goodness of the Lord like the best dessert in all of the world, and our taste buds are just exploding. It ought not to look like we've sucked on a bottle of apple cider vinegar. People ought to be able to see the gladness that we have inside flowing outwardly. We are to show the Lord that we're celebrating with gladness in the ways that we interact with others and what we do outwardly in our worship services. So we celebrate God's great works, church, number one, with gladness. But look also again in verse 27. We see now at the dedication, the Levites are recruited so that they might celebrate the dedication with gladness and with hymns of thanksgiving. See, we celebrate God's great works also with thanksgiving. They were to come together and they were to vocalize thanks to the Lord. They were to show gratitude to God and appreciation for all that God had done for them. And likewise, when we come together to celebrate the Lord in worship, our times of gathering together ought to be times where we are vocalizing our thanks to God for what he's done for us. Listen to these New Testament verses. You can write them down. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 says that we ought to be a people, quote, who are overflowing with gratitude. When you think about all that God is and all that God has done for you, your heart ought to be overflowing, bubbling over with thankfulness to the Lord. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, Paul says, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So at all times, in all situations, no matter what's going on, Paul's telling us we ought to be a people who are able to dig down and to find something to express gratitude to God for what he's done for us or what he's done through us. This is God's will. This is what God desires. This is what God wants from his people, a people who say, thank you, Lord. Do you remember the story in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19? Jesus encounters 10 leprous men from a distance. They have contracted this just devastating disease back in the day. They were uncomfortable physically because of the skin malady they had. They were ceremonially unclean, and they were cut off from worship, and they were ostracized from the community. And from a distance, they just cry out to Jesus, have mercy on us. They want him to show them compassion. They want Jesus to do something to help them. And Jesus doesn't even approach them from a distance. Jesus just speaks, and he heals them and cleanses them. And they continue on their way. But Luke tells us there was one person in particular in that group, one of the lepers. He notices that he was healed and cleansed. And he comes back shouting and glorifying God. He falls down at Jesus' feet, and he just begins to thank him for what he's done. And I want you to listen to what Jesus says in response. Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they?
Jesus said, I healed 10 of you. I cleansed 10 of you, and only one of you came back to give glory to God and to express thanks. Do you know what Jesus is telling us in that passage? He's telling us that gratitude should not just be merely internalized, but it should be outwardly vocalized. God does not just want us feeling gratitude. He wants us to express our thanksgiving to Him. The American novelist Gertrude Stein once said, silent gratitude isn't very much to anyone. Gratitude is meant to be expressed. Church, be sure that when we gather together to celebrate the Lord every Sunday, when you are with the Lord in your private times and you're thinking on something that God has just done and answered a prayer or some way that He's shown up in an awesome way, that you are saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that another person was saved at church today, that someone's eternal destiny's been changed. Thank you, Lord, that we had another baptism, that somebody had the courage to go public with their faith in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what Pastor shared with us about the gifts that we received as a church, that we've got so many people stewarding their finances to give to support the missions and ministry that you've called us to. Thank you, Lord, for that provision you gave. Thank you, Lord, for that healing that we've heard about. Say thank you often to the Lord. Saying thank you is not just good manners with each other. Saying thank you is good theology biblically. We should be a people when we celebrate the Lord that our celebrations of His works are marked with gladness and they're marked with thanksgiving. We see a third element of celebrating the Lord's good works in verses 27 through 29. We celebrate God's works with singing and music. Look again in the text. They call the Levites together again so that they might celebrate the dedication with gladness, with hymns of thanksgiving, and with songs to the accompaniment of cymbals, harps, and lyres. So the sons of the singers were assembled from the district around Jerusalem, and from the villages of the Netophathites, and from Beth Gilgal, and from their fields in Geba and Azmaveth. For the singers had built themselves villages around Jerusalem. So this day of dedication, of celebrating what God had done through the wall, it was a time of singing. They've come together to harmonize their voices, and they're singing with the accompaniment of musical instruments. They're just having a grand old time, and they specifically have people set aside who were to lead Israel in the singing. And we see in verses 31 through 42 that Nehemiah actually set aside two great choirs. These were thanksgiving choirs where the singers would accompany them. They would serve as two processions on top of the wall, and they were gonna march around Jerusalem in this great procession so that they could give thanks to God when they gathered together and to sing. Let's look at those verses in verse 31. Then I, referring to Nehemiah, had the leaders of Judah come up on the wall, and I appointed two great choirs. This wall was probably around 9 feet wide. The first proceeding to the right, so they were going to the south, on top of the wall toward the refuse gate. Hoshea and half of the leaders of Judah followed them, with Azariah, Ezra, Meshullam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, and Jeremiah, and some of the sons of the priests with trumpets, and Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, and the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph, and his kinsmen, Shemaiah, and Azarel, and Milalai, and Gilalai, and Maiah, and Nethanel, and Judah, and Hanani, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God. And Nehemiah tells us Ezra led this group, went before them leading this group. Verse 37, at the fountain gate, they went directly up to the steps of the city of David by the stairwell of the wall above the house of David to the water gate on the east. And then he tells us about the second choir. The second choir proceeded to the left, so they're going north, while I followed them with half of the people on the wall above the tower of furnaces to the broad wall and above the gate of Ephraim by the old gate, by the fish gate, the tower of Hananel and the tower of the hundred, as far as the sheep gate, and they stopped at the gate of the guard.
Then the two choirs took their stand in the house of God. So did I and half of the officials with me. And the priests of Eliakim and Maaseiah and Miniamin and Micaiah and Elioenai and Zechariah and Hananiah and with the trumpets. And Maaseiah and Shemaiah and Eleazar and Uzi and Jehoahan and Malchijah and Elam and Ezer. And the singers sang with Jezariah their leader. So guys, there's this picture. One group's going south, one group's going north. And they meet together at the entrance of the temple. They're thanking God and they're just singing. All of the people gathered in Jerusalem can hear what is going on and see what is happening. From this, we see that we should celebrate God's goodness to us with singing and with music. Privately, we should sing and make music to the Lord. Publicly, we should sing and make music to the Lord. Listen to what Colossians 3:16 tells us. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So Paul tells us that's what worship should be characterized by, singing with thankfulness unto the Lord. When you buy tickets to a concert, most of us in here have probably been to a concert at some time or another. You go to a concert to listen to someone else sing. You go to a concert to watch someone else perform. I think a lot of church members unknowingly have confused the church with a concert. A lot of church members come to the church on Sunday mornings to be entertained or to watch what takes place on the stage. They come to be observers rather than participants in what's taking place. And see, that's totally backwards, guys. Our praise band and our praise team, when they're up here, think of them as leaders of the music, and we're all a great choir that God has called together. And they're helping lead us in songs of thanksgiving and praise and faith and love as expressions to God to celebrate His great worth and His great goodness. When we sing, we should all be singing together. And I know someone's going to say, "But Pastor, you just don't get it. We sing songs here that we didn't sing when I was a little girl, a little boy. These are just not the songs that I grew up with." Guys, think about this. Read the book of Revelation. Do you know what happens in Revelation? When we gather as the redeemed in heaven before the Lord, the Bible says we're going to sing new songs. Songs that none of us have ever heard before. Let me just imagine this. If Gabriel is striking up the choir in heaven and we're about to sing and you don't know this music and you don't know these words, are you going to say, "Time out, Mr. Gabriel. I've got something to say. Sir, I didn't sing this when I was growing up on the earth before I died and Jesus brought me to heaven. So I don't really know what to do with this song." You know what's going to happen? We're going to keep singing regardless whether you know it or not. You don't get to do that in heaven. Listen, we need to learn to just sing to the Lord. If the song is good theology, if it's praising God, just learn to sing because it'll prepare you for what we are going to do when we get to heaven, to sing new songs to the Lord. Sing every Sunday when we gather together, because I want to tell you, you've got something to celebrate, a great work that God has done in your life. Let me tell you what it is. It's the fact that He saved you. Every Sunday when you come here, you can sing to the Lord because you know what remains true and always true? That the Son of God left heaven and became a man. You can sing to praise Him for that. It remains true that He lived a perfectly sinless life on your behalf. You can sing and praise Him for that. He is the one, after living that life, went to the cross and He died for your sins once and for all. That remains true forever. You can sing and praise Him for that. After His death, He arose from the grave and ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He is returning one day. You can praise Him for that in song because that remains true forever. And because you trusted in Him and you placed your faith in Him, you have been washed, you've been forgiven, you've been adopted, you've been regenerated, you've been sanctified, and one day you'll be glorified. No matter what's going on in your life, every time you gather here on a Sunday, you can celebrate God by singing a song of thankfulness unto Him.
We celebrate God's good works with gladness, with thanksgiving, with singing and music. And we see in verse 30 that we also celebrate God's works with holiness. Look in verse 30. The priests and the Levites, they purified themselves. They also purified the people, the gates, and the wall. So the picture seems to be before they began this worship service, the Levites wanted to ceremonially purify themselves and the people and all things that would be involved here. So they took the appropriate steps to ensure that they were set apart unto the Lord in the ways that they needed to according to the law. This probably involved the washing of garments, the changing of clothes, the making of sacrifices, fasting, and other things along those lines. The point of all of those ritualistic laws back in this day was to show God's people that they are sinners, that He is holy, and our holy God must be approached in the ways that He defines. We don't get to approach God in our own ways, but in the ways that God has defined to us. And so this is a reminder here, this purification process they went through, that we need to celebrate God in all holiness. As Christians, sin defiles us. And so we need to remember to guard our hearts, to guard our character, to guard our conduct, so that we can worship the Lord in a way that is acceptable unto Him. 1 Peter 1:16, which I shared last week, tells us that God calls us to be holy because He Himself is holy. I shared with you earlier, I had a project I was working on Mel's car. I was changing out the control arms on the left and the right side yesterday. And after I finished everything up, I was just black. I mean, I had oil and grease and I just sweat all over me. And so I had to go inside, I had to get some detergent and just begin scrubbing to clean myself up. Soap works to get us physically clean. But guys, there's only one way we can get spiritually clean as believers. We have to go to the Lord in confession. We have to acknowledge our sin to God. God is faithful and just if we will confess our sins to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We have to admit our sin to the Lord. We have to acknowledge it. We just have to ask God for cleansing that comes from the blood that Jesus shed for us. That's the only way we can get a clean heart. So this is a good principle for us. When we come to worship and we're going to celebrate the Lord, confession precedes celebration. We need to confess sin to the Lord to make sure we're in a place where nothing is hindering our worship and celebratory heart before the Lord. We celebrate God's great works with gladness, thanksgiving, singing, and music, and holiness. And then last of all, where we see in verses 43 through 47, we celebrate God's great works with giving. Look at those texts. And on that day, verse 43, they offered great sacrifices. And they rejoiced because God had given them great joy. Even the women and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar. On that day, men were also appointed over the chambers for the stores, the contributions, the first fruits, and the tithes, to gather into them the fields of the cities, the portions required by the law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah rejoiced over the priests and the Levites who served. For they performed the worship of their God in the service of purification together with the singers and the gatekeepers in accordance with the command of David and of his son Solomon. For in the days of David and Asaph in the ancient times, there were leaders of the singers, songs of praise and hymns of thanksgiving to God. So all of Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and Nehemiah gave the portions due the singers and the gatekeepers as each day required. And they set apart the consecrated portion for the Levites, and the Levites set apart the consecrated portion for the sons of Aaron. Their celebration that day, it involved giving in two significant ways. One, they gave sacrifices. According to the sacrificial system, they probably offered many peace offerings, which involved the shedding of the blood of innocent, perfect animals, as a sign to say, God, we're thankful for what you have done for us. And their giving also involved, we see in verses 44 and following, the giving of contributions, of tithes and other offerings to ensure that the Levites and the priests were provided for so that the worship system of Israel would go on indefinitely, continually. And so we see here, church, that we celebrate God's great works with giving. We ought to gather together and always have giving hearts to the one who is the source of all of our good gifts, the one who gives to us and whom we desire to give back in return. As Christians, we don't bring animal sacrifices. Jesus Christ offered himself once for all so that no animal sacrifice will ever have to be made for sin. The book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 10, verse 12, but he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, he sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 14, for by one offering he's perfected for all times those who are sanctified. With the shedding of the blood of Jesus, all those Old Testament sacrifices were fulfilled in him so that no blood ever needs to be shed again for the sins of man. But we can still offer sacrifices to God as New Testament believers. You know how we do that? We offer them spiritually. Listen to what Romans 12:1 says. Paul encourages us, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So Paul says, though we don't offer animal sacrifices, when we come together, we can constantly be saying, Lord, I give my life to you afresh and anew. And I want this life to be a sacrifice that's used for your purposes. Whatever you call me to do, I want to fulfill it. Hebrews 13:15-16 adds this. Through him, through Jesus, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to him. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So the writer of Hebrews tells us we can offer three other kinds of sacrifices. We can offer him a sacrifice of praise, offering up, just extolling his great name for the great things he's done. That's a sacrifice in the eyes of God. Also doing good works, saying, God, I dedicate myself to do this for you. I'm doing it unto you and not unto men. So our good works can be sacrifices to the Lord. And then thirdly, the writer of Hebrews says sharing, using our financial gifts, using our material blessings for kingdom causes, for benevolent needs, for ministry and missions. God sees that as a sacrifice that it is done in honor of him. I have a pastor friend who told me one time, he said, Donald, anytime I'm away from my home church, if I'm visiting somewhere else, whether it's vacation or I'm there to speak for some reason, he said, I always take something with me to give back to the Lord. He always had a financial gift he wanted to give in worship. He says, God has just done so much for me. I always want to be a man who's known as someone who gives back to the Lord. And I think this principle is a great principle for us to remember. Every worship service is an opportunity for us to say, Father, I want to have this giving heart towards you, so I'm giving my life to you afresh. Father, you have blessed me so much, so I'm giving an even greater sacrificial and generous gift than what I've given before. Father, I know that I may not be the best, but they need somebody to plug in here to help with this event coming up, so I give you my time and my talents to use me in that way. God, I want you to use me, and I show you that I'm celebrating who you are and what you've done by being willing to give. We celebrate God's great works with gladness, thanksgiving, singing and music, holiness, and with giving. I want you to think about a city with me. After its team has just won a Super Bowl, a championship, when that happens, people fill the streets, the confetti's flying, music is playing, people who are strangers are high-fiving. They're jumping up and down. The city shuts down for celebration. People are loud. People are emotional, and they don't care who sees or who hears because something has happened, and they're celebrating what has taken place. But imagine with me if that city's team won the championship, and everybody just went back to their homes, back to their jobs. Everything was business as usual. Imagine with me, guys, if this is the year for Dallas. I know that's a hard pretending thing for you to get in your mind, but let's just imagine that this is the year and it finally happens and we win the Super Bowl and nothing happens. Everybody just goes back to their homes, back to work. Not a word is said. No cheers, no dancing, just silence. It's ignored rather than celebrated. Do you think people around the country would be asking, do Texans not realize that something just happened that hasn't happened in 30 years? Sometimes I wonder, do the angels peer over heaven and they look down here upon us, God's worshipers, in churches scattered throughout this world? A soul is saved, the big offering comes in, a person's delivered from an addiction, lives are being changed, somebody's gone public with baptism, there's been a great healing, a great showing up of God in power and strength. And we don't do anything in response to it. We don't celebrate it with gladness, with thanksgiving, with singing, with music. I wonder if the angels just look over and say, do they not realize what has just happened? Church, we should be a people like ancient Israel that realizes God is always doing something great in our midst. And we are to come before Him with a celebratory spirit in heart, to recognize Him as the source of all of our blessings, and to just say to guests who come and to the angels in heaven, we serve an awesome God who's deserving to be celebrated. Church, let's all celebrate. Let's just celebrate when we come together to worship, to make much of God and to make much of what He's done for us and what He's done through us. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Jesus, you've never repented and placed your faith in Him to be rescued from the coming judgment and to have your sins forgiven, we're going to have ministers down front who are ready to receive you, to answer any questions you might have. Let me tell you what's going to happen if you give your life to Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us there will be a celebration in heaven. The angels in heaven will rejoice over what takes place down here. If that's what takes place in heaven, church, we need to be doing it down here as God's people, celebrating what God has done for us and through us. Will you please stand as we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, thank You for this time to worship. Thank You for this time to turn to Nehemiah. Lord, just to be encouraged in what it means to celebrate Your great works, Your goodness in our lives. God, will You deal with each heart in the ways that we need to be dealt with and the specific points that we've studied this morning and what it looks like for us to become more faithful worshipers who give You the honor that's due to You for what You've done for us. God, if there's anyone watching who needs to make a decision, God, I pray You'll give them the encouragement, the courage to text the word Lakeland to the number at the bottom of the screen. If anyone here needs to make a decision for Jesus, I pray that You'll call them to Yourself. May the Holy Spirit draw them to new life in Jesus. And we pray all this in His matchless name. Amen.